Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Is Jesus coming again? Well said. I asked that question yesterday as well, and I was afraid I will only get a few kind of slight, subtle answers. If any of you have any doubt, if there's any hesitation, if there's any wondering the answer to that question, the answer is yes. Not because I can say that with certainty, not because I have some sort of inside information, but because Jesus himself has said so. And as the scriptures remind us, as Paul reminds us, not in our text today, but just in the verses leading up to it, the Lord is faithful when he makes a promise. When he states something that will happen, his word is true. It is trustworthy. So together, we can answer the question, is Jesus coming again? Yes. And that changes everything. If I were to attempt to summarize the letter of 2 Thessalonians, I think that would be the summary. Jesus is coming again. This is what Paul spends his time on. It's only a short letter compared to some of his others. And yet it seems that in every corner of the book of 2 Thessalonians, this is what he is talking about. Just a few verses in, he talks about the time when the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Last week in chapter 2, now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to him. This is the thread, this is the theme of what Paul is talking about. Jesus is coming again. We can count on it. We can be assured of it. And yet then we get to our text today. What we might describe as the tail end of the book, the last verses of the chapter and the book of 2 Thessalonians. And we may wonder, as with some of our answers, there may be some hesitation. Is this still what Paul is talking about? Does Pastor Tim's summary still stand true, or has now Paul set that topic aside and turned to something else? Because here, in our reading today, Paul doesn't seem at all concerned about Jesus' return and what is coming and what will happen, but he seems to turn and focus on here and now. Why is Paul so worried about our working or our idleness? I would argue it's because of exactly the same thing he has been talking about. He is concerned about our working or our lack thereof, our idleness or laziness, because of the very fact and truth that Jesus is coming again. This is an outflow of what he has been spending his time and words on in the first two chapters. He continues here, yet with some very real and practical application. Why am I so confident of this? Because I believe in a briefer form, Jesus himself, in the form of a parable in just a few verses, speaks to this very same idea. Slightly different words, but the same idea. From Luke chapter 12, Jesus tells actually a few short parables. The context here of each of these parables, speaking of a master who is coming, is this context. That Jesus has gone, and yet he will return. And so even in this second parable in Luke 12, verses 42 and following, this is what Jesus has to say. Who then is the faithful and wise manager whom his master will set over his household to give them their portion of food at the proper time. Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. The master will return. It's assumed here in Jesus' parables, especially this one, as it's been made explicit in the previous ones. The master who has gone away for a time will return. And for the manager, the servants who serve well their master in his absence, then they are blessed. But also notice how the parable continues. Jesus says, of these blessed servants, truly I say to you, the master will set him over all his possessions. But if that servant says to himself, my master is delayed in coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants, and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and put him with the unfaithful. Sheesh. If Jesus didn't get our attention in the first part, now he did. He means business. Jesus is not just extending some nice platitude, oh, when the master comes back, things will be all nice and wonderful. But he also speaks a word of warning. Why? Because here and now depends on our knowledge and trust in our master, even in his absence. I think this is what Jesus is getting at here in this parable, and what Paul as well in our reading today in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 is getting at. Because what do we know of our master? What do we know of Jesus, the one who has come? He is selfless. Not selfish. Jesus himself says at another place in Matthew's gospel, the Son of Man has not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Did Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, come down from on high and take on human flesh in order to sit on a throne and have people feed him grapes and fan him when he's hot? No. Did he come because, well, by coming to earth, he could gain something better for himself? No. Jesus comes not for his own good, but for the good of others. For your sake, for mine, for people of all time and places. We see this most clearly when the perfect one, the one who has committed no sin, in thought, word, or deed, is willing to give himself up on the cross in the place of you and me, sinful people. And so then even, as Jesus is raised on the third day and a few weeks later ascends to heaven and says, I will come again, he has left us an example of sorts. Just as he came to serve, just as he came and had compassion on others, just as he came and worked and served diligently in his ministry, so you and I, his servants, servants of a good and gracious and loving master, we are called to do the same, to know the goodness that we have received, to know the forgiveness that we have in him, to know the promise of eternal life through him in his return, and yet to act then as he did, to reflect the love and goodness of Father, Son, and Spirit to those around us, to not be lazy or idle, because that would be selfish. That would be us looking out for our own good. Jesus has taken care of everything, so now I can just sit, eat, drink, and be merry. There's nothing else that needs to be done. Jesus has done it all. See, these half-truths. I think this is what Paul is concerned about. As he's been telling the Thessalonians and you and me, God's hearers as well, yes, Jesus is coming again. Yes, Jesus has taken care of all in his death and resurrection, and when he returns, things will be made well and right and new. And yet the wrong conclusion some people make is, well then I can just sit and wait. Instead, our reason for work, our reason for service is not so that we can get something more when Jesus returns. It's not so that, even though Jesus warns us, so that we can simply avoid the consequences and punishment that may come if we fail to. The reason we work and serve here and now is because we know who our Master is and what He has done for us. And we desire to be like Him. We desire that others would also come to know Him. We desire that just as He has come and served us and acted for our good, so we then, in the meantime, while we wait for His return, also serve and act for the good of others. This is Paul's concluding statement in our text today, verse 13. As for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good. See, when the Master delays, and that may seem to be the case, that may feel to you and me to be the case, that the Master Jesus is taking a little too long, that we still have a little more time, certainly a few more weeks, months, years, centuries. It's easy then, at least possible for us to grow weary in doing good. Paul encourages us, in light of, because of the promise that Jesus will come again, he encourages us to not grow weary, but rather to continue serving with our words, with our deeds, not for our own sake, but for the sake of others, as we look forward to that day that Jesus does come again. Because it will be a glorious day. It will be a wondrous day. It will be a day of celebration, just as Jesus tells in the parable, "Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes." But did you know that Jesus' service, even his service, is not over yet? I know we haven't read these, but in the preceding verses in Luke 12, this first parable of sorts that Jesus tells about a master who has gone and will come home from the wedding feast, listen to what the master does when he returns. Verse 37, "Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes," similar to what I read in the following verses. But notice, "Truly I say to you," Jesus says, "he," the master, "when he comes, will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them." This is who he is. His love, his care, his desire to serve you and me is so great that even when he returns, yes, we have pictures of him sitting on his throne, and yet Jesus himself also gives us a wondrous picture where you and I are set at the table and feasting as he serves us anew. So I ask you one more time, is Jesus coming again? Yes. Thanks and praise be to our God and Father, and to our Lord Jesus Christ, the wondrous, gracious, loving Master, who has come and died and risen again, and who will come again, because he has said so. And yet in the meantime, he calls us to serve just like he has. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.